Hello, and welcome to Jolly's Fall 2015 podcast series. This is Megan E. Barnes, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Language and Literacy Department in the College of Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Christine Kaiser from the University of Northern Colorado about her article titled Reading, Writing, and Designing, Getting Students on the Path to Thinking Like Designers. Thank you, Dr. Kaiser, for joining us today. I'm looking forward to talking to you more about your work. In this Voices from the Field article, you discuss your strategy of approaching teaching from a design lens. Could you talk a bit more about the specific takeaways you hope readers get from your article?
Thank you so much for having me. I am really excited to be part of this. I really, when I wrote the article, I wanted to kind of share my love and passion for this concept of design and from approaching writing instruction from a design lens. This research came out of some work with third grade students, and my transition as I tried to get them to kind of look at the options of designing. So I think it's important to think about our own definition of design and what that means to us. And for me, designing is just kind of taking the concept of writing or creating and expanding on it. And so thinking about all of the options. And really with the technology that we have accessible to our students now, it's about the amazing quantity of modes and the interplay of those modes and the media that they can design with. And so I love getting students to think about, okay, I want to write for a specific purpose or an audience. So how can I best portray my message when all of these options are available to me? And so that's kind of my version of design. And, you know, thinking about this instruction, you know, we're still looking at all the great teaching and instruction we've done when it comes to writing. So using mentor text, conducting conferences, participating in shared writing experiences with our students, you know, using all the great class lessons that we have, but we're just expanding on the options in terms of what we can read and write and use mentor text in terms of design. So I guess that's my big takeaway. I think it's important for teachers and everyone to realize that we can't limit our students' options for composing in their lives outside of school. They really have, you know, tons and tons of alternatives in terms of sending Instagram messages or texting friends or, you know, obviously we read and we write still. There's always a place for reading and writing, but those options are expanded. And so thinking about audience purpose and genre and then media. So how does that look when we want to design? So I guess the ideas listed in the article, I wanted them to be practical. I wanted them to be easy to implement in the classroom. And these are things that I did with my students. Simple things. You know, if you're going to have your students design a slideshow, then why not have them open the application and look at the themes and think about, you know, why would we use a certain theme for a certain thing and how do we justify our design choices? Because all of those choices are really intentional. There's a great quote by Martinez and Sager in their Invent to Learn book. Children have always made things, but their tool palette and canvas have expanded remarkably in recent years. And I think that kind of sums it all up. That's what it's all about.
Great. And I'll kind of along those same lines, what are some of the practitioner-based implications raised in the article?
So, you know, my article kind of focuses on new meaning and implications of digital writing and composing. So whether we're working with students to consume or compose text, we kind of have to acknowledge and open up the dialogue for students about those modes and the interplay of those modes. You know, why is a certain text bold on the page of a picture book? Or why does a certain website include specific photographs? You know, as soon as we begin the discussion of modes and the constraints and affordances of modes, students make the realization and the connection that all these design choices, they are intentional, whether it's font size or web page layout. You know, everything's really motivated. And you have to be a critical consumer of text. An author, an illustrator, a designer, they made an intentional choice in every step of their design. And so you have to think about what were their intentions and what are they really wanting me to get out of all of the components of a piece. And so, you know, well, I'm currently reading Bridging Technology and Literacy. It's an awesome book by Amy Hutchinson and Jamie Colwell. And they talk about, you know, when reading has moved to this digital age, I think they say reading took on a new meaning and began to carry different implications. And so that's something we have to be aware of, and we have to include in our instruction, include with our dialogue with students. Digital texts require different skills beyond, you know, traditional reading. We now have to work with our students in navigation and listening and following links and viewing three-dimensional images, and how do we get from one page to the next and all those things. So those are intentional choices, and we have to be intentional in our teaching and our instruction when we work with students with digital text. So I'm excited about where this will go as digital composing and consuming becomes more and more mainstream.
All right. And in what ways does this paper address various audiences, and how do each of these audiences benefit from the reading of your article?
I think all stakeholders are really, you know, when anybody that's involved in literacy instruction really has to think about how do we modernize writing instruction? How do we make it more applicable to our students' lives outside of the traditional brick-and-mortar context of schooling? You know, what does that look like in the classroom? And so that comes from, you know, curriculum designers to administrators. You know, this is no longer just something that we want to do or we need to do because we're preparing, you know, digitally literate citizens, but, you know, the Common Core, it's there. So it's something that we have to do. It's our responsibility. I think teachers need to begin these conversations. They need to look at authentic literature. And the idea of authentic literature is beyond paper and pencil now, and asking their students to be, you know, critical consumers, creators of text. A big stakeholder in this is researchers. You know, how do we get students to think about all these things? And there's some great work that's been done in the past few years. And so I'm excited to see where this goes and how it takes us. But it's important to think about, you know, okay, practically from a teacher perspective, where does a teacher start? And I think there's some great ideas of, and I'd be anxious and curious to hear how teachers take these lessons and kind of flourish from them. So it's exciting.
And finally, what questions were raised by your work?
I think there are so many questions, and that's why this is a huge emphasis in our teaching and our learning and our teacher preparation programs. Technology skills, you know, our teachers today, there's a huge range of skills. There's a huge understanding. There's a huge range simply in the interest regarding technology tools. And so how do we begin to build our teachers' capacity and our capacity in terms of it's okay that the students know more than we do with technology? Because really, frankly, it's impossible to keep up, you know, with all the technology, the apps and the tools and the devices. And it's a constant flux and constant change. So that ability and that comfort level, I think, are really questions that teachers need to start asking. I think we have to look at, you know, how do we prepare students in terms of new literacy? Researchers such as Kress and Blankshire Noble, you know, they talk about new literacies and bringing these questions about how do we prepare our teachers? You know, how do we get them to understand concepts of digital literacy, of digital citizenship? You know, there's questions in terms of getting devices into students' hands and what is appropriate. And I think, you know, there's great organizations, ISTE's doing great work to help us figure this out. Early childhood education resources are helping us think about, well, what does that look like in the hands of our youngest learners? And what is appropriate? And I think there are a lot of teachers that don't think that it is necessary to integrate digital literacy into their classrooms. And so how do we get them to see the benefits and the advantages to supporting our students' digital literacies? So I guess they're umpteenth questions. Exciting because the questions for students become so fun. You know, how do I create a piece on, you know, teaching others about pollution in the ocean? Well, as a third grader, oh my gosh, my options are now I can create a movie, or I can create a PSA, or I can create a podcast, or I can create an infographic. There's just so many options, and then there's so many options for how I can get my message out to the world. And so it's a pretty exciting time for students, and I think we need to take advantage of all that and continue to question and continue to look and make improvements in terms of expanding students' digital literacy practices and specifically in terms of reading and writing composing.
Dr. Kaiser, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. We're very excited to share your work with our Jolly readers this fall.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure, and I look forward to getting some great feedback, and I hope everyone really enjoys it and can use some of those ideas in their own classrooms.